Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. And Dave, congratulations on another great all-day Ag Outlook meeting. Sounds like in spite of the weather, you had a pretty good turnout.
We had a terrific turnout, Dan, in spite of the weather. And in terms of information provided, there was a lot of excellent information at this all-day Ag Outlook meeting. And in the next day or two, we're going to try to get most of that information up on the web for you. Keep an eye on our website at willag.org. And again, we'll try to have that information up there in the next couple of days. The 2008 All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting was made possible by Cargill, the Andersons, and the Archer Daniels Midland Company. The Midwest direct hog markets today are expected to trade weak to $1 per hundredweight lower. Terminals are called steady to a dollar lower, with tops from $33.50 to $38. Peoria called 50 cents lower today with a top price of $33.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, March 4th, negotiated swine purchases were 13,961. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $44 to $54.05. The weighted average was $51.77, a loss of 94 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $34.33 to $43.46. The weighted average was $41.63. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 18,308. The base price range was $44 to $55.74. The weighted average was $53.89, a loss of 65 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $35.50 to $44, and the weighted average was $42. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. Well, more precipitation for our area, and it looks like the storm systems will come in at regular intervals, sort of trading off between the clipper systems headed towards the north and those panhandle hooks or storms that start out in the southwestern U.S. heading towards the Ohio River Valley and the eastern Great Lakes. And over the next week or two, we do look for the regular intervals of precipitation, but it looks like the amounts of moisture will be starting to dwindle back from what we've had recently, and even some areas of west central Illinois starting to get a little bit drier, and we do need some drier, warmer weather for the area, and well, even drier, warmer, or drier weather anyway is needed in some areas of Brazil. And it looks like they'll get another day or two of drying conditions before showers and thunderstorms start to occur more often over central and northern portions of Brazil. That taking place late this week and in through early next week. Again, none of the precipitation there will be great enough or persistent enough to bring harm to the unharvested crop. Some minor delays in harvest progress should be anticipated, but progress will be made, and late-season crops have a sufficient soil moisture to maintain a fine finish to the growing season for Brazil. Again, it does look like over the end of the week and into next week, around half of the growing area will pick up some precipitation. Amounts generally in the tenth to three-quarters of an inch, with some local amounts over an inch in some areas favoring the central and northern sections. The driest areas of Brazil will be far to the south. As far as Argentina, they did have some rain yesterday and early this morning, but it was mostly confined to Buenos Aires and a few far southeastern Entre Rios locations. Rainfall not much more than a quarter inch in areas, although there were some coastal areas in Buenos Aires where they did pick up almost an inch and a half. The remainder of Argentina was dry with high temperatures in the upper 60s and 70s. As far as other growing areas in Australia, all key production areas were dry yesterday. Only a few isolated showers occurred along the Pacific coast, and amounts there were less than a quarter inch. High temperatures in the 90s to the low triple digits throughout western and southern Australia. Cotton and sorghum areas will continue to see dry conditions for the next 10 days or so. Early sorghum harvest will continue to progress favorably there. In China, rain will be beneficial to the early developing wheat and rapeseed crop there while boosting soil moisture in advance of the corn and rice planting that should begin later this month. An increase in precipitation would certainly be welcome in the North China Plain, but not necessary as this region is typically dry at this time of year. As far as the U.S. Midwest, flooding occurred this morning from Missouri into some eastern Iowa locations and into Ohio. Moisture totals from yesterday's precipitation event ranged anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch all the way up to about an inch and a half, eastern Ohio being the wettest area. No big change in the wet weather bias advertised for the central and eastern portion of the Midwest over the next couple weeks. The trend typically of La Nina years and may start to raise the market concerns over the early season fieldwork delays in early April as we continue with almost a precession of storms, and some areas will remain too wet unless we get a prolonged dry and warmer weather pattern. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 1160, up 7, last trade up 7. May, 1160 and a half, up a half, last trade up 13. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 1073 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter, last trade up 7. July, 1019, up 12, last trade up 23. December, 1029, up 3, last trade up 21. March corn opened at 545 and a half, up 2 and a half, last trade up 6 and a half. July, 567, up a quarter, last trade up 6 and a quarter. December, 566, down 3 quarters, last trade up 6 and a half. And March beans opened at 1501 and 3 quarters, up 7 and 3 quarters, last trade up 12 and 3 quarters. July, 1523 and a half, up 3 and a half, last trade up 18. November, $14, up 1 and a quarter, last trade up 11 and a half. May soybean meal opened at 378.10, up 130, last trade up 320. May soybean oil opened at 68.10, down 72, last trade down 27. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Well, yesterday, over at the All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting in Covington, there was a lot of buzz about, from a number of people who had heard that ADM was not going to purchase any more new crop corn. What is the latest on this?
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, I can't tell you what's going on exactly this morning, but I did call the Mississippi yesterday, the river, and I was trying to unload some stuff there yesterday morning before the open. And they informed me that they were not willing to take any new crop corn or soybeans except for basis only. And they were like 75 under on corn and about 100 under on beans. I think that's since been modified. They tempered their stance a little bit. I see overnight that some of the interior houses have put bids out. And, I mean, they're fairly weak. You know, beans I've seen as low as 106 to 110 under, and corn in that 75 to 80 under mark. So I think, you know, with ADM doing this, we'll see some of the other houses like Cargill and the big co-ops and some of them following suit over the next few days.
And what then becomes the implications of this longer term?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on here. We've got index funds, huge speculative positions in these markets. Is the soybean market actually worth $15 and the corn market worth $5 plus? No. And that's what the end users are trying to tell us. They are not going to pay these prices. They're going to go hand to mouth and wait to see what shakes out. There will be no inventories carried. And that's part of the what the defensive mechanism that was triggered by ADM was what are you going to do with this stuff? The futures market is actually divorcing itself from the cash market. This is horrible for agriculture. I mean, you know, everybody sits there and goes, wow, this is great. These prices are great for the farmer. In reality, this thing is going to hurt us in the long run.
So then I guess if you're going hand to mouth, you're hoping that speculators pull their money out of the market on a profit-taking move at some point?
Well, here's the situation. You know, traditionally, index funds are operating from the long side. They're buyers of positions in commodities. Okay, where's the short side come from? Okay, that's commission houses, commercials, et cetera.
Right.
Well, if there's no sellers out there, then how are they going to buy it? And that's what I'm saying is this thing is getting out of whack. Somebody's going to have to pull us in and get it in check, or we're going to be in trouble.
Very quickly, then, the calls today.
I'd call corn up 4 to 6 this morning and soybeans up 10 to 15. Could trade higher than that just because of the move yesterday.
Thank you very much, Tom. Okay. Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's 9:01 Central Time.